Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Your development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand, as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet, as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Persecuted, but not forsaken.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, my Father, once again, for the awesome opportunity and the privilege to be able to come boldly to your throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Thank you, Father, for this season that we're in, Father, the celebration of the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ, my Father. And Lord, as you summon us into your presence, Father, my prayer is that you would speak to our hearts so that we might know what is the hope of our calling and the exceeding greatness of the power that's available to us because of this season, my Father. And as always, we'll be always careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Now, Father, as we do, as you always tell us to do, come past the gates of thanksgiving, past the courts of praise, past the sanctuary, all the way behind the veil into your presence. We humble ourselves under the ministry of your Holy Spirit. And Father, we would just ask that he would minister to us, my Father, so that those under the sound of my voice might not only hear what I say, but what you say, Father, by your Holy Spirit, about what I say. For that people, my Father, might not only put their faith in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God, that they might hear from you, Lord. Not just from me, but from you. So I ask, Father, by your Spirit, as we humble ourselves under your mighty hands, that you speak to all of our hearts, Father, to the edifying of the body of Christ, for the work, Father, that you ask for us to do on the earth. And once again, Father, we'll be always careful to give you all of the glory, all of the honor and all of the praise, all of the credit. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. Excuse me. Hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Once again, it's always an honor and a privilege to be able to come into your homes and your automobiles through these radio waves and just share with you all, you know, the love of God. You know, I call it the greatest story that's ever been told, you know. And it's very important for you to know what the purpose of it is, you know. If you tune into this radio broadcast, then hey, you ain't just tuning into it. There's a purpose for this. There's a purpose for everything. God is a God of purpose. Everything in life has a purpose. Everything that he do, he has a reason for it. So if you tune in to this broadcast, then there's a reason for that. And the reason is this, you know, that our Father in heaven, you know, has some of us, has pointed unto us, the Bible calls it the golden scepter of righteousness. That signifies that you can come, man, all the way through the gates of thanksgiving, all the way through the course of praise, all the way through the sanctuary, the church services, the prayer meeting there, all the corporate experiences, all the way behind the veil into the very presence of the Most High God. Dear Lord, listen, without any sense of guilt or condemnation, even though your sins be like scarlet, for you know that they wash white as snow, man, and as a result of being washed white as snow, then that's what, boy, give you the rights and the privilege to come all the way, man, past the gate, past the court, past the church services, all the way into the presence of the Most High God, so you can commune with Him, so you can fellowship with Him, so we can hear from Him. Hallelujah. And you know what? It's all because of this season right here that we're celebrating right now. You know, what season is that, boy? Hey, that's the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, probably the most familiar scripture in the Bible is John chapter 3, verse 16. Now, I quote that, man, even people who don't read the Bible, you know, they heard that before. But that God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. What God did, God so loved the world. I told you, boy, it's the greatest story that's ever been told. It's not the story of man and man's story about God. It's the story of God and God's story about man. I'm going to say that again. It's not the story of man and man's story about God. It's about the story of God and God's story about man. That's the greatest story that's ever been told. That's His story. History. The history of God. Hallelujah. And the history of man, that God, man, history about man, you and I. That's the greatest story. That's why He summons us all the way into His presence so that we could eat from the King's table. Not just hear, man, what we as ministers of the gospel say, but to hear what the Spirit of the Lord say to you. God want to talk to you Himself. He want to fellowship with you Himself. He want to commune with you Himself. He don't just want a corporate relationship with you. He want a personal relationship with you. More than anything. More than the corporate relationship. More than us assembling ourselves together and listen. That's all good. You got to come through that way. You don't go no other way now. You don't try to go around it or above it or under it or without it. No, you got to come through that way. But, man, you know, don't just stop at the gates of thanksgiving. Don't just stop at the course of praise. Don't just stop with the church service and say we had good church today. But go all the way into the presence of the Most High God. Because that's what God has pointed unto us because of this season, for a golden scepter of righteousness, signifying that the wall that separated mankind from God and the sin that separated mankind from God, boy, that's been taken care of, man. And like I said earlier, even though our sin be as scarlet, because of this season right now that we're celebrating, boy, they washed white as snow. You might not know that, and you might have heard that, but you might have went in one ear and came out the other. I'm going to say that again. Because of this season right here that we're celebrating, boy, God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. What we call the birth of Jesus the Christ, we call Christmas, because of that season right there, that's what enables us, man, and gives us the ability, the right, and the privilege to come all the way into the presence of the Most High God. Listen, boy, that's what God wants more than anything. If I can say it this way, I don't have this until I speak, but that's what He wants more than anything else in the whole wide world, boy, is to hang out with you and to hang out with me, to fellowship with His children, to commune with His children, to walk and talk with His children. Don't you love you, man, your children? Don't you love to hang out with your children? Especially around this holiday right here, many people are traveling right now, man, family going to hang out with your children, coming to hang out with parents, parents coming to hang out with children. Why? They have a good time. But, because, boy, there's a season for that. And, boy, that's what God wants more than anything else, man. He want to do the same thing. As we gather together with our families and everything else, boy, He want to gather together with His family. He want to hang out with us. Listen, that's always been His intent, His original intent, from the very beginning. That's what He created us for, a family of sons that he could commune with and hang out with and fellowship with, and a family, a father and his children. Glory to God. Well, that's what the thing is really all about. That's what the whole Bible is all about. That's the revelation of the Bible. That's the story of God. That's his story. I'm not talking about what we say, man, in our story, the mankind's story, in the story, in the history of man and everything. You know, that's all inclusive in it, but that's the minor. I'm talking about the major. What's the major? The minor is what man's story about God. That's the minor. What's the major? God's story about man. What he say? He the one said, man, come boldly to the throne of his grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. He said that. This whole grace thing, man, is all a result of God's love for us. In spite of. Listen, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. The devil might come and try to condemn you, man, you know, because of your faults and mistakes and your weakness and your inner abilities. And I'm not condoning that, man. I'm just telling you, boy, but the grace that, man, listen here, hey, it covers that up. But that ain't the only purpose for grace. It don't only cover up your sins, boy. It gives you opportunity, man, not to sin. Sometimes people say, boy, we use grace to cover up our sin. No, you don't have to use grace to cover up our sin. Our sins already covered. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that covered our sins. I don't need grace to cover my sin. They already covered. I need a grace, man, to help me keep me, man, from sin. Hallelujah. That's what the grace is for. To give me another chance. To give me, man, the grace to get up, man, even when I do fall. To know that I have an advocate with the Father. Not that y'all can just continue in that way and continue to fall. You know, no. That I can get up, man, and keep on pressing on toward the prize of the high calling that's in Christ Jesus. What's the high calling that's in Christ Jesus? Where's Jesus at right now? He's seated at the right hand of the Most High God. Far above all principalities and power and dominion and might. Far above all demons, sickness, disease, everything else, man. And listen, but where is that? That's in the presence of the Father. That's in the presence of the Most High God. Listen, man, seated right next to him at his right hand. That place, not only is that their physical place, but that's boy next in succession to the throne. In other words, boy, it's God, then Jesus. And authority. Where he at? In the presence of his Father. And guess what? Because of this season right here, because of his coming, guess what, man? You and I, who were dead in trespassing and sin, because of Adam's disobedience, man, were dead in trespassing and sin, as God raised up and made to sit together with Christ Jesus in heavenly places with him, far above all our circumstance, situations, and symptoms. So for what purpose? Because he's reigning now in life. He came as a suffering Savior. He's a reigning King right now. If we're not careful, we get caught up in the suffering Savior. And never come to the knowledge that he ain't no suffering Savior no more, baby. Lord, he's a reigning King. And the Bible says, as he is, so are we. Not as he was. He was a suffering King, and he did hang him on the cross. He did suffer separation from God right now. But, man, let me tell you something. Man, that's over with, man. Ain't no suffering. The Bible says we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. Hey, listen, he ain't suffering no more. And just like we and I have been suffering and everything else because of this season right here that we in now, if you've been suffering, you don't have to suffer no more. Why, Arthur? Hey, baby. You suffer for you. If you suffer for us, then why we got to suffer? Well, how we operating and not suffer, Arthur, realize that, amen, you know, that just like he was a suffering Savior, that he's a reigning King right now. And I'm talking about what he did, man, 2,000 years ago when he walked up on the ground, you know. That was, man, back there, that was the coming of Jesus and Christmas and everything else. I'm talking about, boy, who he is right now and what's going on right now. Because this whole thing about Christmas and everything else is about, man, what's going on right now. You know what's going on right now? That God has pointed unto every last one of us the golden scepter of righteousness, man, signifying that, man, I don't care what the deal is. You can come, boy, hang out with your Father in heaven and grow in the knowledge of God and who he is and who you are in him, man. And boy, I'm talking about begin to walk in the reality of what it means to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. I'm talking about, man, being religious people, man. I'm talking about, man, being, man, sons and daughters of the Most High God. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a relationship. And then my man coming boldly into the presence of the Most High God. That's what God wants more than anything. Listen, that golden scepter of righteousness, that's not just to Christian people, man. That's to every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. To get whatever you need, you know, to come get whatever you need. You know, that's what the golden scepter of righteousness is. That's what the invitation is to you and I. Well, come get what you need. If you need peace, come get it. If you need joy, come get it. If you need provisions, come get it. If you need healing, come get it. It don't matter what you need. Anything that pertains to life and godliness, amen, you know what that says? That's in the presence of the Lord. The boy, he say, come get it. That's where your blessings are. The Bible says, man, listen, we trying to get our blessings, man. We don't know where our blessings are. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, thanks be unto God who has blessed, who has. That's an old English word. They ain't going trying to and trying to get it done. He's already done because of this season. Well, has already blessed us with what? With all spiritual blessings. Where? In heavenly places. In Christ Jesus. Where your blessings at? They in that place. They in heavenly places. What that's at? That's in the presence of the Lord. Listen, as we come in and realize that that's what this whole season is about, to cleanse you and I and everything up, the coming of a suffering Savior. But to save us, well, from all our sins and being, man, a suffering people, man, and destined for eternal separation from God. The Bible calls it hell. To redeem our life from the destruction. To set us back on course toward God's original plan and destiny and goal for our lives. That's what this season is all about. Listen, I'm going to say some things here in a few minutes. It might not go over too good, you know. But if you listen and incline your ears to burn, not just what I say, but what the Spirit of the Lord want to say to you about what I say. Let me tell you something. There's three members of the Godhead. There's the Father, that's the Son, that's the Holy Ghost. The one that's doing the work in the earth today, that's the Holy Spirit. He here. He in you. He with you. If you got Christ on the inside of you, you got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. You might be unaware of it and don't know it and don't know the power and everything else that's available to us because of death. But boy, I'm talking about you guys. You the Spirit of the Most High God on the inside of you. To do what, Arthur? To lead and guide you into all truth. Lord, pray, Lord, so that you might know the truth. Lord, pray, Lord, so that the truth that you know will set you free. Set you free from what? From what the Bible calls a law of sin and death. What's the law of sin and death? If you eat off that tree, you're going to surely die. What's the law of sin and death? The soul that sinned shall surely die. That's a law. Well, and Adam sinned, and when Adam sinned, and ever since then, everybody else that came from Adam, man, from Adam all the way up until now, have sinned, have fallen short of that mark, has rebelled against the known will of God. You know what the penalty for that is? Death. What time of death is that, boy? That's separation from God. That's spiritual death first. That's separation from God. You know when Adam and Eve got ate out the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you know, the first thing happened is the Holy Spirit left that was on the inside of them. The next thing happened is, man, you know, they got put out of the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden is a representation, man, of an atmosphere and environment that's conducive to man, the atmosphere and environment that's in heaven at God's throne in the very literal presence of the Lord. Can you imagine what kind of environment and atmosphere that is? The literal presence of the Most High God? Right there, man, in his presence. I'm not talking about, man, you know, in the same house with him. I'm talking about in his presence, in the same room with him, right there where he is. Can you imagine what kind of environment and atmosphere that is? So if you could dwell in that place right there, you wouldn't worry about nothing. You know what this season is all about? At that place, the secret place of the Most High God, that's what David called it. Hey, that place, that's what this season is all about. What Noah called it? Noah called it, boy, the ark of safety. What old boy Abraham called it? Abraham called him in a promised land. I tell you, David called it the secret place of the Most High God. Adam called it the Garden of Eden. Jesus Christ came, boy, last, and he called it, boy, the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of God. That place. That's the place. When they said, boy, our Father which art in heaven, in his presence. That place. That's where it all started at. I told you, boy, you know, if you want to know the destination, you can read the first two chapters of the Bible, boy, and see the end. What's the end? This the end. And God said, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Now, who talking? I'm not talking about what man said. I told you about what man said about God. It's God talking here. I ain't talking about what Isaiah and Jeremiah and the prophet said and Reverend so-and-so said and Bishop so-and-so said and the Pope said and Brother Arthur said. I ain't talking about none of those things that we say. I'm talking about, boy, what he said. Glory to God. This is what he said. And God said, let's make man in our image and in our likeness. And let them, who? Mankind. That's in his image and his likeness. Let them have dominion. That's rulership. That's kingship. That's authority. That's power. That's control. That's influence. Let them have dominion. Over what? Having power and control and influence and rulership and kingship over what? Over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, everything that creepeth upon the earth, over all the earth. Let them have rulership with it. Let them have dominion over it. Let them be the rulers. All those things that he named, the thing that came from the earth. So what God literally saying, man, hey, listen, the heaven belong to me. That's my territory. And I'm going to make a territory for my children, what they call the earth. And just like I have dominion and authority and power and control and influence over my territory here in heaven, I'm going to make them in my image and in my likeness, and I'm going to give them power and control and influence over their territory, the earth. So what pray to the archers so that they can make it in their territory just like it is in my territory. And I'm going to put on the inside of them the potential, everything that they have need of to accomplish that. What? That it might be on earth just like it is in heaven. Listen, we've been praying that all our lives, and perhaps you know have not really had a clarity and understanding of what you're really saying. Yet the Holy Ghost know how to doctor it up and present it before our Father. What? Hey, that's the first request. What? After you acknowledge our Father and where he is and give him praise and adoration, the first request is, Father, what? Let your kingdom come. Why? So that your will can be done. Where? On earth. How? Just like it is in heaven. When? Now. That's what Jesus' message was. When he came, he said, all of the kingdom of heaven has arrived. His inauguration of message was this, repent. Why? For the kingdom of heaven. That place, that secret place of the Most High God, that ark of safety, that Garden of Eden, that promised land, that presence of the Most High God, all of the kingdom of heaven that you lost in the Adam, and all that, man, being restored back to us because of what this season right here. And know what the real deal is? Listen, that's because God loves us, and boy, for his name's sake. For his name's sake. Because when it's all said and done, it's going to be because for his name's sake. What? For the reputation of his name. For his name, his word. What his word say? Let's make man in our image and in our likeness, and let them. In other words, well, when he say let them have dominion, he took himself out of the equation. He say, I'm going to get the authority of the earth to them. They just like I'm the king of heaven, they're going to be the king of earth. They ain't going to rule over people, but every circumstance, situation, and symptom that confronts their life, man, you know, they're going to rule and reign over that. With my character, and with my nature. Influencing men, the earth with him. Causing the earth to be a colony of him. A little outpost of him. For the purpose of God, so that man ain't going to be on earth just like it is in heaven. And listen, let me say this here. That's what he said. That's what he said, man, in the beginning. I'm talking about that before Adam and them ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, before Adam and them messed up and everything else. That's what he said, glory to God. You're going to make me start preaching here in a minute. That's what he said. That, who said that? That's what God said. And I don't care what the devil did, what Adam and Eve did, what no circumstance, situation, or something that we might be confronted with here on this earth, ain't nothing altered the word that have gone forth out of his mouth, baby. That's what he said. And let me tell you something about what he said, man. Heaven and earth gonna pass away, but the word of the Lord, they're gonna abide forever. And boy, what he say gonna go. That's why you always hear me on this radio broadcast telling you, boy, what the king say go. Listen, that's the original word right there. That's the original law. That's the law of life. That's the law that set you free from the law of sin and death. Listen, the sin and death came after that law. But baby, can't nothing override that law right there, boy. That's the primary law in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of heaven. What the king say, go. And that was Jeremiah, Isaiah. They, in time past, that, and that what Arthur say, and I say, and you say, and your opinion, and every mankind's word. Thank God for all that and everything else. But man, listen, when it come down to it, hey, what the king say. Who is the king, man? The Most High God, our Father, which art in heaven. What he say, that's where we're going to go. And what he said about you and I, let's make them in our image and our likeness, and let's give them dominion over the earth. For what purpose? So that they can make it in their territory just like it is in the territory that they came from. Hallelujah. God set that up. God set that up on the earth. He said that, and listen, after he said that and spoke that, then the Bible say, then God came down, man, brought mankind down, man, from heaven, little offspring, just like him, spirit being, and then he came, brought us down from heaven. We come from heaven. You know that, wouldn't you? Listen, God ain't trying to get you to heaven. He brought you from heaven to earth. That's why I say we be preoccupied with the means. We trying to get to a place where God brought us from. And God, man, came down, man, and formed a body from the dust of the ground and breathed into that body the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's in Genesis chapter 2. What God did, man, he created us in his image and his likeness. Where's God? In him. So if he created us in his image and likeness, man, then we originated in him and in heaven, because that's where he is. But his goal was to extend his governing influence of heaven to another territory. So he created the universe. And in his universe, he picked out a place called the earth. And he said, hey, there, that's going to be my children's spot. That's going to be their kingdom. That's going to be the territory, man, over which they have power and control and influence over. What you giving them power and control and influence over for? So to make it in their territory just like it is in my territory. For what purpose, Arthur? So they might be on earth just like it is in heaven. For what purpose for that, Arthur? So that, boy, I might walk and talk with my children in the cool of the day just like I started off with, said the Lord. Listen, in the beginning, man, when God set that up on the earth, and God was walking and talking with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. You know the story. God set that up. That's the original world that God set up. God brought mankind down from the earth, put him in a body from the earth, and then planted a garden, man, and then put him in that garden. We call it the Garden of Eden. Put him in that place, right? That environment, that atmosphere, that was conducive, man, a carbon copy of Eden in heaven, the presence of the Lord. And the Bible says, and he put him in that place. What place is that? In the Garden of Eden, in the presence of the Lord, in that place. That's why I say everything that God was doing, man, is to get you and I back to that place. All the Old Testament stories and everything that happened, man, all those are means to one end. Well, boy, to get back something God lost. So God, man, put Adam and Eve in that place, and then he gave me, and when he put him in that place, the Garden of Eden in his presence, then God, man, you know, hey, listen, hey, gave him, man, a commandment. What was the commandment? Be fruitful. That's productive. Multiply. That's produce, man, you know, men. Subdue. That means, man, you know, control and have authority, power over, you know, this earth. Protect. Subdue. Cause the whole earth to be just like this little garden of Eden, if I could cut to the chase. And replenish the earth. And make the whole earth just like this little garden of Eden. Four points. So it might be in your territory, the earth, just like it is in my territory. Listen, that's what God's goal, and that was God's vision to get that done through his family of sons. And boy, God did that. And he placed them in that place. And then God gave them, man, the other commandment. He said, now listen, I put you in this place. This is your assignment to be fruitful, to multiply, to replenish, to subdue, to have power control in the earth so that boy can be in your territory like it is in my territory. Then he started him on his course toward that destination. And boy, he was walking and talking with him in the cool of the day, unbroken fellowship. Like I say all the time on here, can you imagine, man, what kind of life that was? Can you imagine what life was like when Adam and Eve were walking and talking with God in the cool of the day before they ate off in the tree, before they ate off in the apple, before they rebelled against the known will of God, before they got put out of that place? Can you imagine what kind of, watch this here, there ain't no, with no religion going on. It was a relationship. Listen, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. They wouldn't have a church like we know. I'm not opposing that. They're going to need some water on it later on. But I'm talking about, boy, that what we're doing now is a result of the fall. But that wasn't God originally intended. He wasn't, like I say, God ain't about a religion. God is about a relationship. And even through our religion, man, it's just a means to an end. To get you through that place there, man, where, you know, through your attempt to appease God all the way into his very presence. Where it's no longer a religion, it's a relationship then. Listen, if you knew, man, you know the goodness of the Lord and the love of God and everything else and what he's saying and what he's doing, wouldn't nobody have to try to coach you or force you to come to church? You'd be running to God. If you knew the goodness of the God and all the things that God has done for you and has in store for you, your inheritance, what everything is, then you'd be running to your Father. But the problem is, you don't know. What you're seeing is religion. And that's not real, you know, they don't have any power and any true influence. So, boy, when you get in the presence of the Lord, what do you mean get in the presence of the Lord, boy? When you realize, man, that that's what God's original intent was, that's the world that he set up on the earth, what? That we would walk and talk with him, be in his presence, what? Not sometime, not when we go to church on Sunday, not under my 24/7. Unbroken fellowship. Again, can you imagine what kind of life that was? Well, that's the world that God set up on the earth. The word world in the Bible, it don't mean like, you know, the universe. That word world is not COSMOS, it's KOSMOS. And in the Greek and the Hebrew, that means pattern or system or pattern of operation or systems. A way of doing things. Let me see if I can say it simple. God set up a pattern of operation. He set up an arrangement upon this earth, a pattern of operation, a system by which mankind was to live by. He set up that world, that arrangement, his intent, his desire, his purpose. He set that arrangement, that purpose, that world. He set that up on the earth in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. That world. What world is there? That's before Adam and Eve ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He set that world up on the earth, man. And let me tell you something. That was his intent, boy. His intent in that world at the whole earth, man. It's the finished product, boy, where he said that the whole earth will be filled with the glory of God. So it's kind of like this. God showed man a desolation first. What's the desolation? That you just like me, and my energy and my lightness, and it's in your territory just like it is in my territory. It showed him the destination. It showed him the end first. Just like you're doing a race, you know, you don't just get out there and start running. You set the destination first. You set the end first. You set the finish line first. That's what God did in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. He set the finish line first. That's what he showed us, boy, in Genesis chapter 1. He was mankind created in his image and likeness, ruling and right on the earth in the presence of the Most High God, man, without any sense of guilt or condemnation. Growing man in the knowledge of God and the wisdom of God and the grace of God forever and ever and ever and ever. Watch this. In heaven. Watch this. In heaven, on earth. That's the destination. Not heaven in the sweet by and by. The Bible says the heaven belonged to God, the earth he gave to man. What is it supposed to be like here, boy, when it's all, what is it going to be when it's all said and done? What's the destination? It's going to be on earth as it is in heaven. That's the destination. That's the finished product. Why? That's what the king said. He set the end first, and then he back up and start. Just like they're doing a race. They set the destination first, and then all the runners back up, man, and go to the finish line. And then he say, on your mark, that means set your face, Flint, toward the destination. What, the end? You know the destination. There's no runners know the destination. Then he say, on your mark, get set. Then he say, get ready. Then he say, go. And all of them running toward what? The destination. They ain't out there just running wild. It's kind of like what the church is doing now and the world is doing now. It's running wild because they don't really know its destination. That's why it can't stay in its lane. It's running all over the place. Why? Because it don't know the destination. So if you set out in a race and don't know the destination, man, you'd be all out your lane. That's why it's important for you to know, man, listen, the world needs Christmas. And why is it important for the world to know about what Christmas is? You know, now, I'm not talking about the traditional pagan holiday that we have made out of, like we celebrate in the world. I'm talking about the true meaning of it, man. Boy, God set up a world up on the earth. That arrangement. You're talking about a party. Can you imagine that boy in the presence of the Most High God living that way? In Genesis chapter 3, man, you know, when God set mankind on his mark and said, on your mark, it said go, then man took off, when Adam and Eve took off, they were walking and talking to God in the cool of the day, unbroken fellowship. On their way to the destination, to the end, they got tripped, if I could say it that way. They got deceived. Let me back up and say something right here. When God sent them on their mark, on their destination, and told them to be fruitful and multiply and everything else, I said, started saying that. Then God told them this. And then God put them in that garden and say, now you can eat off all the trees here in this garden. In other words, boy, you fellowship with me, man, you just continue to fellowship with me and continue to eat off all the trees in the garden. The tree of peace. The tree of joy. The tree of happy relationships. The tree of man's salvation of loved ones. Family, all the trees in the garden that pertain to life in garden. You can eat off of them trees. You can eat off that word. You can, man, continue in that word. You continue fellowshipping with me in that lane right there, the tree of life. In other words, boy, just eat off all the things, man, that I say about you. I say you're blessed. I say you're not. I say you're healed. I say you're delivered. I say you're saved. I say you, man, the apple of my eye. I say no weapon formed against you can stand. I say come, you who are blessed of your father, and get your inheritance, man. I say, I'm the Lord thy God who will take sickness away from the midst of you. I say, boy, I ain't never going to leave you. I ain't never going to forsake you. He say, come eat off all them trees. The boy, if you eat off all them trees, boy, I'm talking about it. The tree of life, boy, you'll live forever, boy. Because, boy, they guess what? If you eat off them trees, man, you know, guess what? You're going to be... That you're gonna reap the fruit of those trees. You're gonna have that. Then God gave him a commandment. He said, but listen, there's another tree in the midst of the garden, man, called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat out that tree. Why, Arthur? Because if you eat out that tree, he said, you're gonna die. And God gave him a commandment. He said, eat up all the other trees, all the goodness of the Lord, and everything else, and all his grace, and all his love, and all his kindness, and all his mercy, and all his blessings. And they all of him, all of the heaven consists of, man, just eat off of that, man. Because that's what he was telling them. That's how they were walking and talking in the garden. He was telling them who he really is, just like him. his character and nature. And Adam was becoming then as he continued to eat off those trees. What God was saying about it, not what man said about it, not what people say about it, and not what man, you know, educators and schools and everything else say about us, man. Not what the world say about us, but what he say about us. But hey, man, so what Adam did, Adam, man, you know, got deceived, and they ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And man, instead of it being up on his earth like it is in heaven, it's on his earth like it is here now. Hey, listen, he got a lot of good on his earth. He got a lot of good people on his earth. He got a lot of evil, too. What's that the result of? That's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's on earth like it is here now. Well, instead of it being on earth like it is in heaven, it's on earth like it is here now. They got good and evil. The only thing about the good and evil, man, is both, man, end in destruction. The other way that seems right to a man, but the end still going to lead him to destruction. Why? Because you're separated from God. You're without God. You're outside of the presence of the Lord. And without hope. Separated from God. Dead in trespasses and sin. Out in this wilderness. Out in this world, man. But Adam did it, declared independence from God. So that means, man, instead of God being their source, now they're their own source. They got to lean on their own, understand? They got to make it by the sweat of their brow, man. Instead of being the Holy Spirit assisting them and everything else, he on his own because he declared independence from his source and sustain. And on his own, he turns, man, our earth into what it is here today. Why? Because he separated from God. He out on his own. Now, as long as he was in the Garden of Eden, then he could do that. But out in the wilderness, he couldn't do that. He separated from God. And plunged our earth and set up this world called the kingdom of darkness that we live in now. What's the kingdom of darkness? Ignorance of what God is doing. And start coming up, man, with the knowledge of the history of man instead of the history of God. And the history of man has taken the place of the history of God. What's the history of man? That's the words of man and what man says. Even what man say about God. All that's the history of man. And it has taken the place of the history of God. What's the history of God? That's what God said. And what God said from the beginning. And boy, God set up that world up on the earth where he was walking and talking with his family. All everybody, listen, when he was talking to Adam and Eve, he was talking to everybody because everybody come from them too. So he wasn't just talking to them too, he was talking to everybody. Because everybody come from dead body, Adam. Everything that he told Adam, be fruitful and be multiplying, be in my image, be in my life. He wasn't just talking. Adam is not the name that God gave to that one man. Adam is the name that God gave to the human race, Adam. So he was talking to everybody. And boy, let me tell you something. You know, in Genesis chapter 3, man, Adam, you know the story. I mean, Adam ate off the tree, got put out of the Garden of Eden. Plant our world and what he has here today. And man, let me tell you something. When they got put out, when God come looking for them, and he knew that their fellowship was broken, that they were unclean, and God said, where art thou? They say, man, I was afraid. God said, who told you that? In other words, have you listened to somebody else's word? That's what happened, man. Instead of Adam, they're maintaining their faithfulness and their loyalty to what God said, they listened to the voice of an unemployed cherub, a wicked angel that went bad. They listened to another word. They listened to what somebody else said. And got away from what God said. And as a result of that, man, you know, they were separated from God. And their children that were born, they were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Born separated from God. But God told the devil in Genesis chapter 3, when he did that, he went to the devil. He said, hey, listen, that same woman who you deceived. In fact, let me read that to you. You know, this is the first announcement of Christmas. So you say, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, that's Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. Because thou hast done this, you are cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust thou shalt eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman. That's hostility. And between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise your head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And unto the woman, he said, this is not what God promised the devil. He promised the devil that. He said, I promise you something, Lord. That's the first announcement of Christmas. That same woman that you deceived, hey, she's going to have a seed. That's before a child going to come through her. A man going to come through her. And that man that's going to come through her, you're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to bruise your head. He's going to take back, man, all the authority that Adam gave to you and the sovereignty and dominion and his kingdom and his everything that Adam gave to you, all his dominion, that he, everything that he lost and gave to you that you stole from him. Hey, listen, I promise you something. This God telling the devil, I promise you this, that I'm that boy, that same woman, going to have a seed. That's a child. And that same seed of that woman going to bruise your head. That means they're going to hear mean authority, going to strip you of all your authority that don't rightfully belong to you, that you stole. And they're going to give it back to who it rightfully belonged to. What's that, boy? All God's children. Who is that? That's everybody. That's all mankind. That ain't just for Christians. That ain't just for that religious organization. That's just a religious organization. That's for every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. Listen, I'm going to say it again. God so loved the world. What world are you talking about? That world that he set up. That arrangement that he set up in the beginning. That fellowship with him, what man, he was walking and talking and hugging his children and loving on his children and unbroken fellowship, man, with his children, man. Though they see him like scarlet, they wash white as snow. He put them in the sea of forgiveness, man. He don't even remember that, man. And boy, the devil will remind you of that and keep you in remembrance of that so he can keep you trapped up in there. But God don't even, man, when he look at you, he see you washed white as snow, glory to God. You see you covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. He see you as though you had He seen you as though you had never sinned, justified. What that means, cleared of all guilt, pardon. I ain't talking about on parole and out. I'm talking about pardon, record erased, in the sea of forgiveness. What purpose, God, so that you can come back into that place? That's the whole purpose for it. But you can come back into that world. That's why the Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, or who have come back into that world and walking after it, and got back on in the race toward the course of their destination. We ain't arrived yet, but boy, you can get back on and get in the race. You can get back on course toward the destination that God has for our lives. You can come to the knowledge, boy, of who you really are, where we really come from, why we really here. What we really can do, where we really going to end up at. That's mankind's age-old question. And when you come to the knowledge of that, boy, then you can set your course toward that destination. When you know where you're going to end up at, then you can run your race with faith and confidence. Hallelujah. Knowing that, boy, listen, it ain't to the fastest or to the swiftest or to the one who get there first. As long as you keep on, man, pressing on, man, you're going to get to the destination. And it don't matter whether you come in first or whether you come in last. Everybody get the same reward. Work. All of the kingdom of heaven that was prepared for us before the foundation of the world. Work. Heaven on earth forever and ever and ever. It's on earth just like it is in heaven. It's in all our lives. All our lives. He on earth just like it is in heaven. Even if God got to create a new heaven and a new earth, and that will happen. There's no misunderstanding. I'm not saying you ain't going to go to heaven, but that's not where your eternal destination is. You're going to go to heaven. If you die right now, you'll go to heaven. I told you you've been made to sit with Christ in heavenly places. But that ain't where your eternal destination is going to be. You don't go there. That's where the marriage supper and the Lamb take place. It ain't going to take place up there. But boy, after those things take place up there, the Bible says in the last book of the Bible, the last two chapters, he say, behold, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem. That's all God's people who went up to heaven coming down to a new heaven and to a new earth. And the whole earth is filled with the glory of God. And it's on earth just like it is in heaven. It's on earth just like it is in heaven. Forever and ever in him. Hey, listen, that's why Jesus Christ came to this earth. I'm going to say something here. Remember I said it earlier, I'm going to say something later on, but it might not go over too good. Hey, listen, he's not the reason for the season. Wait a minute, I didn't say that right. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He's not the only reason for the season. And watch this. He's not the main reason for the season. He's a part of the season and everything else, but the reason for the season is God so loved the world. The reason for the season, man, is you and I who are dead in trespassing and sin and separated from our God and without hope in this world, man, can be reconciled back to God. The reason for the season, man, was to, man, come clean you and I up from all our unrighteousness, man, so that we can come past the gates of thanksgiving, past the courts of praise, past the church service, past the sanctuary, all the way into a personal relationship with your Father in heaven, all the way into his presence. And watch this here. I'm not just talking about nothing here and there and now and then. I'm talking about and dwell there. David say, those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'm not talking about tiptoeing in and out and everything. I'm talking about living in that place. What do you mean dwell there? Always conscious. Becoming more and more conscious and aware that, boy, I'm talking about when you open up the door to your heart and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and invite him into your life, that when he came in, he made a lead. There's something else he said. He said, if you open up the door to your heart and let me in, I ain't never going to leave you. I ain't never going to forsake you. In fact, he told Adam and Eve that in the garden, man, when they ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's what he told them. He told that devil, I promise you, I'm going to get you. I'm going to take back what I'm coming. Christmas coming. There's going to be a seed, that seed of that woman. Boy, but he told Adam and Eve this year, he said, I promise you something. Well, I ain't never going to leave you. I ain't never going to forsake you. Well, even though you didn't disobey me and everything else and you didn't win against my will, but I promise you something, man. I ain't never going to leave you. I ain't never going to forsake you. I tell you, boy, can't nothing separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. And, boy, he came himself. He fulfilled that promise. The Bible says unto us, a child is born and a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. What he came with? He came with that world, that original world, on his shoulder. And boy, that's what he came with on his show. And that's what he established on his earth. And that's what his message was. That world, that arrangement, that pattern of operation, the kingdom of heaven, man, the garden of Eden, man, the secret place of the Most High God that you resort in, that you can dwell in, I come to bring that back to you. All the things that I'm going to do, my death, my burial, and everything on the cross, that's to cleanse you up. That's a means to an end, what? To get you back in that place. Because that's where your fulfillment of your life is at. In that place. You got to get back in that place to find fulfillment of life. Well, boy, in the presence of the Lord, fellowshipping with him. That's what Christmas is all about. So you're the reason for the season. You who were dead in trespass and sin, has God raised up and made to sit together with Christ Jesus. You the one, man. We all of us were gone astray and lost, man, and on our way to a devil's hell. And the only thing that could get us back, man, off of that, man, was a man, God himself. So God became a man and took upon him, boy, the penalty for all our sins so that you and I can be redeemed from that curse of the law, so that you and I can be restored back to everything that we lost, our sovereignty, our dominion, our true identity, our power, our control, our influence, our righteousness, our peace, our joy, our ability, our potential, man, our kingdom, our world. That it get all that been restored back to us. That's all in the redemptive work of God and Jesus' death on the cross. For what purpose, God? So that, boy, we can have restored back to us everything that we lost. That's what Christmas is all about. That's the reason for the season. So that everything that we lost in Adam and Eve, that relationship, that life that we had with the Father before they ate out the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, so that that could be restored back to us. That relationship. Not a religion, that relationship, that personal relationship, that relationship that's built on love. I told you God so loved the world. That's love. So he promised Adam and Eve, I ain't going to leave you, I ain't going to forsake you, and I promise you, I'm coming and I'm going to redeem your life from the destruction. 4,000 years later, boy, the Bible says in the fullness of time, God became a man, Emmanuel, boy, God in man, and dwelt among us. Hallelujah. For what purpose, boy? To redeem our life from destruction and to restore back to us everything that we lost. That's the reason for the season. what Christ is in this season. He the one who man came bought the season. What's the season, boy? That's an activity in the season, in a time, in a period, and that's had activity and action that's going on, boy. Hey, listen, he come to bring the season. What season he come to bring, boy? Can you imagine what life was like before Adam and Eve ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? What kind of season that was? That season? John said, that which was from the beginning. That's what first John said. That's what we declare unto you. That in him is life, and there's no darkness at all. That which was from the beginning, that came from God, what he said, that's what we declare unto you. That season, that was going on in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, and that relationship that God had with man, that season, Jesus came to bring you. What's the gospel? That season is available to us again. Jesus said it this way, repent. What? That word repent don't mean go down to the altar and say, Father, I'm sorry I did this, I did that. No, that word repent means you're going to have to change your whole way of thinking. First. Now, you confessing and everything else, that'll be all a result of it, man. That's the minor. But the main thing is, man, you got to change your way of thinking, to thinking, man, what the thoughts of God. That's why the first thing Jesus said, listen, you've been born and trained and conditioned to think according to the dictates of this world system that you've been born in, that's separated from God. I come to bring another world, another pattern of operation. And man, you know, it's different from the one you've been trained and brought up and live in. But the first thing you got to do is be willing to change your way of thinking from man thinking this old natural way, boy, to thinking the thoughts of God. Renewing your mind, how? By the washing of the water by the word. How you do that, Arthur? When you come and eat at the king's table. And you know the true meaning of Christmas, man. That God so loved the world that on this day, boy, we finna come up with now, that God became a man. For what purpose, God, to redeem our life from destruction, man, and being lost from that original world and arrangement and relationship that Adam and Eve had before they ate off the tree of the Garden of Eden, to restore that back to us. That's the message that Jesus preached. What did he say? Repent. Well, be willing to change what your way of doing things. But to God, we are doing things, because the kingdom of heaven is at your hand. Hey, listen, my time is up on the radio broadcast, and I say unto to you all on here. Hey, listen, this is the invitation, not only to this radio broadcast, but this is the invitation for you, man, listen, to know something. That don't leave Christ out of the Christmas. Hey, listen, he came back. When he came with gifts, too. Don't just be preoccupied with the gifts we get from one another and Santa Claus and all these different things, traditions that have taken the place of what Christmas is really all about. And man, you forfeit the greatest gifts. Listen, when he came, he had some gifts for you too. You know what gift he had for you? The gift of salvation. That's a free gift from God. They say the penalty for sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That's a gift. Listen, the Bible says, for by grace are we saved, through faith. And that's not of ourselves. That's a gift from God. Salvation is a gift from God. Grace is a gift from God. Even the faith to appropriate that grace in our life, those are gifts from God. As you have received the gift, those who have received the gift of righteousness, Romans chapter 5, shall reign in life. But righteousness and put back in right standing with God, that's a gift from God. Just like, you know, man, you don't go without opening up the gifts, man, that you get from one another, man. Don't leave this Christmas, man, without, man, receiving the gifts that Jesus Christ come to bring to you. What? Everlasting life, salvation, grace, mercy, all of the kingdom of heaven, righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost, sovereignty, dominion, and royal power. Those are all gifts from God. And that belong to us. So let the men open up those gifts. Listen, I love you. My wife, Gail, and I, we love you with the love of the Lord. And it's always an honor and a privilege. And we pray that, man, it's not just only holidays in your life, but they become holy days. And that you know the true meaning of this. And I love you with the love of the Lord. Y'all be blessed. Look forward to talking to you again next week. Hey, happy holidays to you. Happy holy days to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Execute.
This is Pastor Arthur LeBay. We at Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry would like to thank you for allowing us the opportunity to serve you and your family. We trust that the messages on these broadcasts has been a tremendous blessing to your life. We pray and speak the blessing of God upon your life. And if we can be a further service to you, please feel free.